Collins, his grandfather, Paul Langlotz, his great-grandfather, James Hodge, his uncle, Newton Porter, Pamela Watson, Angela Cara, and to all the men and women who have served in the past, present, and future of the Canadian military. Thank you for listening. Lest we forget.
Thanks for listening to this special presentation on CKUW 95.9 FM. We now return to regular programming already in progress.
You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg.
You've tuned in to Truth Before Reconciliation with your host, Tammy Wolf, where we're building relationships and teaching truth before reconciliation.
Hi, you've tuned in to Truth Before Reconciliation, produced by CKUW 95.9 FM here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. We're on Treaty One territory. I'm Tammy Wolf, and I am back for the second show with author David Robertson. So welcome, David.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks so much for coming back for part two. I know last show we talked a little bit about your journey to becoming an author, as well as some of the books. I'm wanting to switch gears because this man, this humble man, talking about how it takes a community. I want to shout out these awards. So I just recently read about you in the paper, or well, I mean, I guess it's all digital online now. CBC did an interview with you in regards to not one, but two awards, I believe you just won. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I always feel a little sheepish talking about stuff like that. I actually won four of them, but like two of them, I co-won, which I like. I like the fact that I co-won a couple of awards because, I mean, it does speak to what I think a lot about, and that's like we're a community here, you know, and right. The arts community in Manitoba is very, very close-knit, and right. And really I think as well, like, underrated, you know, like very talented people live in this province.
Absolutely.
In the music scene, the theater scene, you know, the literature scene, we have very talented people. You think about the people who work here, like who work and live in here, like writers, Kate Vermette, Rosanna Dearchild, Duncan McCurdy, awesome. You know, like there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. And it's a great community here. So recently I did win a few awards at the Manitoba Book Awards. I think if anything else, like it's a recognition of the work that you put into something.
Right.
And the quality of story. You know, and I think as well, like, you know, the fact that three of my books were recognized in different categories was really nice. But again, like, you know, awards are really about, like, you know, the nominations, and the awards are subjective. So if you have a different jury, a different book's going to win, you know, and so right. You know, some of it is, you know, some of it is like, you know, luck and timing, right. And getting the right people who, you know, read the works, and they do, the juries work really hard to choose the winners of these categories. But gosh, there's a lot of books, you know, a lot of good books nominated for the Manitoba Book Awards. And I was lucky to win a few. You know, like I think that that it means more for me to be nominated than it does to win, because it is like hard, because there's so many books published every year.
Right. I want to plug those books. So tell us what these books are.
So the one of them was one of my first adult books, my first adult literary fiction book called The Theory of Crows. And The Theory of Crows is just a father-daughter story about a relationship that becomes broken, and then the ways in which these two people try to heal it. And the healing process is, you know, the catalyst for that is the death of the father's dad and the daughter's grandfather. And so they return to the land to bring the grandfather's ashes back to the trap line that he grew up on. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes more of a journey story, both a personal and physical journey. Right. And then the other two that were recognized was The Stone Child, which is the third book in the Misawa Saga series, which is an ongoing fantasy series that's been pretty popular in Canada the last few years. And then the other book is a graphic novel called Version Control. And it's the second book in a series called The Reckoner Rises. And that story is a story that really is trying to present like a positive, authentically written Indigenous superhero. Mm-hmm. And also someone who's dealing with very real problem of mental health. And I wanted to normalize mental health struggles through that story. And so those are the three books that were recognized. And then the Manitowapa Award was something that was awarded to Indigenous artists, and I was able to share that award with William Dumas and Josh Whitehead, who's a lovely guy, and so that was the other one.
I feel like those stories all sound very relatable. So I haven't actually had a chance to read those books, but definitely that relationship breakdown and then going to the land. Like as soon as you said going to the land, I'm just like, oh, I love going to the land, whether it's summer, whether it's winter. And then also I'm a bookworm. I'm an academic. I love reading.
The land is the answer to the land is the answer to everything. You know, like
it really is.
I call the last like 6-7 books in my career land-based books. You know, I've really gravitated towards understanding of the importance of protecting the land and the role it plays in our lives.
Yes.
And as it is a part of this path we're walking, you know, it is a part of reconciliation because
definitely
we also have the relationship between us and the land is also broken.
Right.
You know, as Canadians and as people who live on this planet. Yes. And so that also needs some sort of a reckoning or healing. And if you can write books that help motivate children to think about those things, then I think that that's really important.
Absolutely. I too, part of my research focused on land-based healing, just because, again, I mentioned like I'm impacted by MMIWG2S. And so I really wanted to, you know, take something that has helped me. And that's what I thought about when you're talking about this book, you know, this journey. And I'm just like, oh, it's like a holistic journey, the physical, the mental, the spiritually, the emotional, and this healing, right? That they go to do this with the grandfather to go take these ashes back. Just, it sounds like a beautiful story.
I think so. I mean, like, you know, one of the concepts of the book was this idea of crows and how they can remember faces and pass mm-hmm. down that recognition of faces intergenerationally.
Yes,
and
I've heard that.
I just, that concept is just so beautiful to me. And I feel like we live that out too as people, that we remember places that our ancestors grew up in.
Sometimes.
Yes. When I went to the trap line with my dad, it was the first time I ever
Norway
been
House
there.
For me.
Yeah, no, and me too. So like when I went to Norway House for the first time, I felt familiar with it and I'd never been there before. But then when I went to the trap line, which is just about 15, 20 miles outside of Norway House, I felt like so calm and so at home there. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I'd been there before. I felt like I belonged there. I felt like the land was like welcoming me home.
Right.
And so the concept of the crows was trying to embody that feeling of like, you know, that like as much as we recognize the land, it also recognizes us. And that symbiotic, like beautiful relationship is
wonderful.
Something that we should really cherish, you know.
I definitely have to have you come into my classroom, I think, sometime. This your language, and you're talking about symbiotic relationships. Like, this is what I teach in my class. It's just, you're hitting all the points. Sounds good. I'm actually really interested to hear what you're doing next. So you've written, you said 30-ish books. You've just gotten these two new awards, or I guess four new awards. Where are you headed? Are you working on new books? What's happening?
I do have a bunch of books that I have contracted for, so I'm kind of obligated to write them, but I want to write them too. But I have books that are in all genres and forms coming up. I have the last couple of books in the Misawa Saga series, which has been a really fun series to write, and that series is a very thinly, thinly hidden story that is really about land protection. Especially the Barren Grounds, which is the first book. It's really a book that's about land protection and land stewardship. So that's something I wrote strictly for, like, saying, like, hey, we are really messing up here, and we need to do better. So so there's a couple books left in that series. I have a couple of picture books coming out in the next several years, with Maya McKibben, who I would work with on the song that called them home, and hopefully, I won't say who, but someone I really love and admire in with the last one. And then I have the last two graphic novels in this superhero series, The Reckoner Rises. I have a middle grade kind of chapter book about an indigenous girl who solves mysteries. Nice. I have a hockey book coming out next year about a Cree kid coming down from reserve and playing hockey in the city, and the difficulties of that. And I have a couple of adult books coming out the next several years as well, including a memoir about my own struggles with mental health over my lifetime. And so, so I have a lot on my plate, a lot of interests, a lot of things that I feel like I need to say. When I think of an idea for a book, it's always like, what value does this have for other people? And when I'm able to determine that, then I can move forward with it. And so all of these books hopefully have some sort of intrinsic value for other people, because stories are really about making connections with people, and they're about how in making those connections we can heal. Stories are very powerful, and I think that they are really the lifeblood of reconciliation. They're the lifeblood of human connection and relationship. They're just like, I think their immeasurable value lies within the stories that we tell each other.
I feel like storytelling just as a whole, right? Because when you tie to Indigenous people, that's what we've done, right? Since time immemorial, we talk about generational knowledge, passing of that generational knowledge. And I think that is something that just comes to us as Indigenous people. We have, and I hear you when you say, I have so many stories to tell, right? You have all of these ideas that you feel other people need to hear, right? And that's why I do this show. That's why I have people like you on my show, right? Because your story is just that, right? Is sharing these stories with other people, and having people connect in that way. So I did want to talk kind of moving more so to reconciliation and talk a little bit about how this all plays into the ongoing truth-telling process. Because that's where we're still at, right? In the truth-telling phase.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, the first thing we have to recognize is that reconciliation is not a sprint. It's not going to happen overnight. I think that, first of all, we've done actually really well, over the last 5, 6, 7 years. The changes that we've made and the things that we're teaching kids and what they're learning, we're way beyond where I thought we would be. And that's good, but we still have a long way to go. And so you're right. We're at the front end of it. And that means that, as much as we're doing good things, we're also, we have a lot to learn. And the more we do things, the more we, the more we evolve, we learn from the mistakes that we made, we improve from those learnings, we improve from what we learn from the errors that we make in what we do. And I think those are necessary in the growth that we need to have and as we move forward together. But it is centered around the embracing of story, the recognition of how stories educate and prepare us to take positive action, and help us to understand why we're taking that action in the first place. You know, my dad used to say that, my dad said a couple things that resonate with me. One of them was, we don't know where we are unless we know where we've been. So that also means that we don't know where we need to go until we know where we are. And so it's all this continuum, you know? And so we have a better idea of where we need to get to, but we need to learn first about where we've been and where we are. And that will help inform us of what we really need to do and where we really need to go, because we understand where we've been.
Right.
And so that was one thing he told me. That really hit home with me. Another thing that he often told me was that, whatever you do, for me, it was writing, and he would say, whatever books you write, I always want you to think about how you're helping other people. And so for my dad, he said, I don't know if what I've done has made a big difference, because real change takes time. So if I've done things properly, I won't see the fruits of that work until I'm gone, And so we have to have patience with the process, because it is a long-term thing. And when I really understood that was, I did this keynote address to Indigenous teachers last year at the Human Rights Museum in Winnipeg. And I was talking to a room full of Indigenous teachers. My dad worked in Indigenous education. His whole goal was to train teachers to become teachers in their own communities, Indigenous teachers. And after I was done my talk, and I still don't know why people listen to me sometimes, but after I was done my talk, I had so many people come up to me telling me that they were there because of my dad, or my dad had some sort of influence on their career and Beautiful. Why they became a teacher. And that showed me exactly what my dad was talking about, because my dad died 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so that was where I thought, I wish that he could see this, but I also thought he saw this coming, and I think that is probably as important. I think that as well with I can go on forever about this, but with reconciliation, I think we kind of misunderstand the breadth of it,
right.
We often equate reconciliation strictly to residential school history,
right? And that's, absolutely,
that's always going to be the heart of it, but we have to learn a few things. First of all, is that there's an entire history of systemic racism that is also a part of what we need to learn. So,
and it's still happening today.
It's still happening. The justice system, the healthcare system, the education system,
yeah.
the foster care system, all those systems that have been designed to marginalize Indigenous people and communities. Those are things that we need to learn and know about. But the other part of it is that we don't want to just be seen as victims. We don't right. want to be we aren't the subject of our trauma.
Right.
And so if you look at my catalog of books, what you'll see is that over the last several years, you've seen a shift towards a search for balance. And right. that is learning about community, culture, resiliency, reclamation, language, right. Those things, those beautiful things are as important as the trauma that we've been through. And sometimes one stems from the other, You know, like reclamation stems from loss, but like, you know, that's all a part of what we need to do when we talk about reconciliation. And our role in that as Indigenous people is to tell our stories. And so people can see those things, you know. One thing I won't do is tell somebody what they have to do, you know, because it has to be a personal choice.
Absolutely.
I'm not here to tell you what you have to do. I'm here to tell you what's happened. I'm here to tell you what's happening.
Right.
And hopefully when you learn those things, you also understand that first of all, you have a role in it, and you figure out what that role is.
Right.
Beautiful. You're segueing into the last half, or I guess the last half of this show, because yeah, definitely I can't echo all of that stuff. Like, you're talking about historical accounts. You're talking about, you can't know where you're going until you know where you've been. Let's put my historian hat on. I've said that many times throughout this. You're talking about this generational knowledge that your dad has passed on to you, and how that legacy, it's a legacy. And that's often associated when we think about the legacy of residential schools, right? And the fact that it is only in residential school that, you know, oftentimes that's what people see. That's all they see. So they don't see this historical account. They don't see this historical account. They don't think about how Helen Biddy Osborne, that's still happening today, right? And so these stories that, you know, you've taken it upon yourself to share these stories, and again, moving people to action, because to me, that's what I feel like reconciliation really is about, right? And I mean, again, many times on this show, I've said, like, I don't feel like we're in reconciliation now. We can see acts of reconciliation. But I'd love for you to share thoughts on reconciliation.
I don't even think it's like a word we should be using. I don't, you know, I think that like it's become a buzzword.
Right.
And when it becomes a buzzword, it loses its meaning.
Right.
But we should be talking about the act. And, you know, what the process and the act, I guess.
Right.
And so, like, the best way and the simplest way that I could describe what I really think reconciliation is a conversation.
Right.
And so what we need to do is understand, first of all, that we don't know somebody unless we really know them.
Right.
And the best way to get to know somebody is to talk to them. And so reconciliation to me and to my father was... like what we're doing right now, for example, is we're sitting down, we're talking to each other, and we're getting to know each other a little better, because what we're doing is we're sharing stories and we're listening and we're learning, you know. And when we do that, you know, whether, you know, we're both Cree, but like if I'm talking to like a, you know,
does that matter?
Person,
just kidding.
Oh yeah, you know, like we had this
only
joke.
We
where
know.
I work, my day job, my old day job, I worked for the First Nations Education Resource Center in Manitoba. And I always said that the Cree are all in management, you know, and the Anishinaabe people are all work for us. But no, but so take, for example, like if I'm, you know, I'm a Cree person and I'm sitting down talking with someone who is, you know, who's white, you mm-hmm. know, their ancestry is like European. So
Right. What
we find when we talk with each other is that we have things that we share.
Right.
There are connections that we can make with each other, even mm-hmm. though we come from different places, we have different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. So like, that's our shared humanity. My dad said, like, at the heart of it, when you sit down with someone, you have to recognize one thing. If you only recognize one thing, and that's we're all people, we're human beings. And,
right.
and in the human condition, there's things that we share and we can relate to and we could connect with.
Right.
You know, and maybe there's things beyond that we connect with. Maybe we both, you know, have kids in hockey. Maybe
right.
we have both suffered through the loss of a parent. Maybe mm-hmm. we have, you know, both, you know, experienced the joy of like having a child. You know, there's things that we can connect with that we share in
right.
being human, you know, but the next step is to understand our differences. And the more we talk with each other, the more we understand the things that just define us from each other. Right. But the cool thing that happens is when we really listen to each other, we really seek to understand, is that we understand those differences and we respect them. Right. You know, and there's a value that I'm sure you're familiar with as a Cree person. My dad used to talk to me about this value, and it's the value of non-interference. And that is, you don't interfere with someone else's life.
Yes.
You know, and so
sometimes self-consequences plays a role too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely like, Cree.
Yeah. So like, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. That's right. None of my business. I can model in how I conduct myself for other people right. to see, but I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, as much as I'm not going to tell you how to walk this path of reconciliation.
Right.
All I can do is share stories.
Right.
And, you know, and if you're really listening, and if you really are listening with a good heart, then you'll have maybe some sort of an idea of something that you can do. Because the reality is that even though I'm not going to tell you what you have to do,
right.
This is not Indigenous history. It's Canadian history.
Right.
In this country.
Right.
And because you are Canadian, you have some sort of accountability to what's happened in this country historically and what's happening here today.
If you're still here. Exactly.
So if you have that accountability, you have some kind of responsibility to do something, right. you know,
right.
it might be this small thing, but the smallest thing can lead to the biggest change, you know,
absolutely.
Especially when we're all doing it together.
One person at a time. That's the one thing that I always say. I feel like we're at the end here, but it's funny because I swear you're ahead of me. You're just ahead of me. Usually I end the show with suggestions and you're saying, I'm not going to tell anybody what they need to do. But I do end my show with suggestions. Suggestions for people who want to get involved in reconciliation action, or potentially if they want to follow in your footsteps to become a storyteller, to become an author. What would you suggest for people out there who want to get involved?
I think the starting point is always to learn. You know, you really have to take the time to learn. And it's a worthwhile pursuit. So,
start,
you know,
with these books.
I mean, sure. Like, you know, I think that one of the things I've done in the past is put together lists of books by Indigenous writers that everybody should read.
Right.
You know, so absolutely. Like, within the context of reconciliation, within the context of non-Indigenous relations, one of the most important things that you can do to start is to read a lot and to learn a lot, you know, and then once you've done that, I think you're more prepared and more knowledgeable to do something and know what to do. But I think the starting point is always going to be education. Jodi Wilson-Raybould in her book, like, she kind of puts together this like continuum and, right. and this process. And what I've understand that process to be is you learn to understand. And I would add, you in doing that, you generate some kind of empathy. You know, and then all of that leads to action, you know, and action leads to change, you know, and so that's what, to me, that's what it looks like. It's not rocket science.
Right.
It's hard to do, but like what we have to do at its heart is very simple.
Right.
It doesn't make it easy, but it's simple. Right.
For sure. I can't thank you enough for being here and for giving me the opportunity to spread this beautiful message, because that really is, it's not rocket science. You heard it here with David Robertson. You know, just to get out there and take action. And yeah, and if you can, for people who are interested, if they want to connect with you.
Yeah, you can always follow me on Twitter. It's just like Dave Alex Roberts on Twitter, or on Instagram. It's just David Robertson Writer. And so it's really easy to find. You can even just search my name plus Twitter, search my name plus Instagram, and I think you'll find them pretty quick. Those are where I'm most active. And I'm very good at like getting back to people and responding. So, yeah, definitely get up on there and just like, even just say hi, and I'll say hi back. So
Nice. Okay. Final thoughts.
Oh, no, just like, yeah, thanks for having me on. I think it's like, again, like this, I think in a way, like demonstrably, this is like what people have to do, you know, they just like have to chat with each other for a bit, you know, and I feel like I know you a little bit better. You probably